everyone, and welcome to this next Opportunity London session, which is going to be focusing on the borough of Ealing. I'm Catherine Staniland, and I'm Director of New London Architecture. I'm really pleased to be introducing today's session. So at the heart of West London, between Heathrow and Central London, Ealing is well known as a popular commuter base with good links into the city, as well as regionally and internationally. But that's all set to change and improve with the arrival of five new Crossrail stations, creating major new development opportunities in the surrounding areas, including around Ealing Town Centre, Southall Gasworks and North Acton. And the council have big ambitions for what they want to achieve here. The NLA recently hosted an event looking at what's happening in the area, and council leader Julian Bell said that he aspired for Ealing to become the Copenhagen of London, with investment into green space, cycling and walking initiatives, with the aim of creating the very best place to live in the capital. So big ambitions and big plans ahead. So in this session, we're going to talk through the major areas of opportunity. We're going to discuss the growth of PRS in the area, plans for the future of retail and employment, as well as looking at the Heathrow effect and the impact of that on the area's future. And we have a great panel of speakers here to talk to us. So from my left, we have Justin Kenworthy, who's the director of Barton Willmore, Lucy Taylor, the director of regeneration and planning at the London Borough of Ealing, James Pargeter, who's the projects director at Greystar, and then Tom Tetherington, executive property director for Catalyst, and he is in addition to the programme that you have printed there, so a good bonus for us there. We're going to begin with a couple of presentations, have a bit of discussion, and then we're going to come to you for some questions, so I hope that you'll be thinking of some good questions as we begin the discussion. But to start us off, Justin and Lucy are going to do a sort of joint presentation, and we're going to begin with Justin.
Good afternoon, everyone. Lucy and I will run through a quick 15-minute presentation about Ealing. The objectives of the presentation are to provide you with a contextual information about Ealing itself, explain why Ealing is a pro-development borough, where development managers, fund managers should be focusing their investments, provide examples of investment that's currently happening in Ealing, and also to explain the future of Ealing and where Lucy and her team expect future development and where to be and what type of development. However, before I do that, I'm just going to give you a brief introduction to Barton Willmore. Now, we are an integrated planning and design practice. We've got over 12 offices in the UK. We are one of the largest independent practices with 380 staff. And our London office provides a one-stop shop in relation to town planning, environmental, in terms of landscape design, architecture, graphics and research, etc. Very much a one-stop shop, multidiscipline practice. Working with Tom at the end, working with Lucy in the middle there, and hopefully with Greystar eventually, we'll be developing lots of development in Ealing. Our current schemes, Havelock Estate, St Bernard's Hospital, Dickens Yard, Margarita Works, and our future ones at the moment with Catalyst, for example, Friary Park Estate, Honda with Galliard, etc. So we've got a lot of experience in Ealing. We work very closely with the planning team. So now back to the main event, which is Ealing. I will now provide you with a contextual analysis. Lucy will then follow with what developments are happening currently and what Lucy wants to see in the future. So, Ealing is in West London. It is well connected and it has access to 16 underground stations, all of which benefit from a PTEL of 4 or more, so a very accessible borough. It has 4 overground stations. It also has Elizabeth Line, so 5 Elizabeth Line stations, or Crossrail stations, as you refer to them, or we all do. It also benefits from access to main roads, such as the A40, which will take you straight to the M25. It also has access to the North Circular. It also benefits from access to Parkway, which will take you directly to Heathrow via the road. So what does this mean from an accessibility point of view? Although you can currently travel from Ealing Broadway, for example, on the Central Line to Bond Street within 22 minutes, which in itself is quick, from May 2018, access to Heathrow will be achievable within 12 minutes via Crossrail. From December 2019, access to Bond Street will be achieved within 13 minutes via Crossrail, with then, of course, Tottenham Court Road, Liverpool Street, and Canary Wharf beyond. So, therefore, allowing for a short walking distance or short cycle to the station in the morning, you can be in the West End, or you can be in the city within 30 minutes, or you can be checking in for your flight at Heathrow within 30 minutes. An extremely accessible borough. Statistically, from 1991, the population of Ealing has grown from 280,000 to 340,000, an increase of about 60,000 in population terms, which is an average of about 2,500 per annum. From a population point of view, therefore, Ealing is the third largest borough in London. Between 2017 and 2025, the population is expected to grow by another 45,000, which is an average of about 5,600 per annum. So a massive change in the number of population coming into the borough. Of course, this additional population requires housing, it requires jobs, and it requires convenient services. Although the average wage is marginally less than the London average, it has risen by £3,000 in the last 10 years, and is higher than the national average, and this trend is set to continue. There is a strong demand in Ealing for homes, commercial floor space, hence why Greystar, Barclay Homes, Redrow, Galliard, Catalyst Housing Limited, Countryside, LNG, they're all investing in the borough. In terms of the average house price in Ealing, this is approximately £560,000. Now, this is currently inflated as a result of the historical trend towards more family accommodation in the area, or houses or larger homes. Now, this is changing. Ealing's demand for flats in accessible locations is growing significantly, particularly on rail infrastructure nodes. And eMove has indicated that the average house price in Ealing is set to grow to 1.1 million by 2030. And the Commercial Estates Group, seen in office rental levels in, for example, Ealing Broadway, rising from £38.5 per square foot to £55 per square foot as demand for office floor space grows. So to conclude in that respect, growth and investment in Ealing is happening now, and developers are receiving good returns on their investments. Southall, which Lucy will talk about shortly, is a prime example. But there are plenty more opportunities in Ealing, and these have yet to be realised. So Lucy will now explain why Ealing is a pro-borough, pro-development borough, and how developers and fund managers can continue the growth that's currently in place and for the future.
Thank you, Justin. Oh, gosh. Thanks for promoting Ealing. I'm just going to say a couple more things about Ealing in terms of why you should come and have a look at Ealing if you're not already. I do see some familiar faces in the audience. But we are definitely, we think, the capital of West London, the star in the West. And as you can see on this slide, the quote from Property Week is, we're the standout area of West London. There's a few facts and figures on the screen there, which I need to bring up. There we go, about Ealing. And there's an awful lot of investment already going on here. We've got £5 billion worth, we estimate, of investment coming into Ealing. And as Justin said, the population growth that's predicted in Ealing is phenomenal. And we're looking to improve our retail offer and many other things as well. One of the things I want to point out about Ealing is that in terms of as a place to live and as a place to locate business, it's definitely got those qualities that people are looking for. It's got some fantastic schools. It's got some of the most green space across the whole of London. And the location in terms of the public transport accessibility and being that those travel times of an inner London borough, but with the qualities of an outer London borough and the access to the countryside beyond London. I think Ealing's got those all that mix of things that people and investors are looking for. So I'd really encourage you to take a look at that. The other thing that people tell us is that people in Ealing are really happy. One of those statistics, it says that people, seven and a half out of ten people think that they're really one of the most happy they can be. And that's apparently much higher than elsewhere in London. So we're a really happy borough. So come and join us. So what are we doing in Ealing to increase development and increase even more? Well, with Crossrail, those five Crossrail stations, and the journey time decrease to get to both Heathrow and central London that Justin talked about, we are planning to be a borough that's not just about commuters and homes and residential development. It's about how do we create more jobs in Ealing as well. We're a borough that want people to come into Ealing, to work in Ealing, and use those quicker journey times from Crossrail to commute into Ealing as well as commuting out. So we're developing our plan to allow for that. We've got quite a lot of employment land in the borough, and some of that is strategic industrial land, which some of you may have heard the Deputy Mayor talking this morning about how the GLA is looking to protect that so much more, but also looking to intensify it. So that's one of the things we're looking at, is how we can use our employment land more effectively for both jobs and residential growth. And we're looking at the planning tools around that. What can we do in terms of our policies? We're a borough that works very closely with the GLA in terms of our developing our planning policy. We've got a housing zone in Southall, which the GLA are helping to fund to increase housing growth there. And we're also we're also prepared to use our own planning powers. We've used compulsory purchase order on a number of occasions to make some development happen in Ealing, and we're very happy to do that in terms of assembling land to get the very best out of what we've got. So we think we've got lots of opportunity for new homes and new jobs, and we want to talk to people who can develop some really exciting things around both of those two together. In terms of some of the things that you can see on this slide, as you can see, Crossrail goes through the middle of the borough, the five Crossrail stations, and our town centres are around those Crossrail stations. And I'll talk in a minute about some of the things that are already happening. The big opportunity in our borough is around Southall. It's an opportunity area in the London Plan, and it's on Crossrail. And I think the change in journey times is perhaps going to impact Southall more than it is other parts of our borough. Ealing Broadway is already well connected in terms of the underground. So for Crossrail, the impact in Southall is going to be huge. It was identified as one of the top three places in London that would be positively impacted by Crossrail. The London Plan and our own planning framework talks about 6,000 new homes in Southall. This is already way out of date, these figures. You develop a plan and then things happen and it's already becomes way out of date. So we think there's actually the opportunity for at least twice as many as that. There's developments that are underway at the moment. The Southall Gasworks site, or Southall Waterside as it's now known, has finally got underway, and phase one is under construction. There's a planning permission for 3,700 new homes, and I've no doubt there will be more homes than that, that proceed on this site. But opportunities that are coming forward in Southall, you can see some of the sites on the screen there. Very literally right next door to the station is a large area of what was employment land, and includes the Honey Monster factory where sugar puffs used to be made. That factory is now closed. There's a big opportunity there for an ex-employment site to come forward, coupled with other land in the vicinity, Middlesex Business Centre and Malgavita Works. So there's quite a big space there that Barton Wilmore have been helping some of the landowners on, and we really think that's the next big opportunity coming forward in Southall. Other things that have happened across the borough, in Ealing Broadway, the council's been using its own land through a St George development, Dickens Yard, to create 700 new homes and some new retail space. We've got our cinema coming. Again, St George's is working on that. And the Ealing Broadway shopping centre and the land around the Ealing Broadway centre and station is ripe for redevelopment. Right opposite the Crossrail station are development opportunities in Ealing Town Centre. And North Acton, again, is another really, really good opportunity. Right as part of the Old Oakham Park Royal Development Corporation, North Acton has seen an absolute transformation over the last 7 or 8 years from a peripheral part of Park Royal with not many jobs in the area to somewhere where there's a lot of development starting, a lot of mixed-use development, new residential, new student accommodation, and all of that is starting to bring life to a place that's in Zone 2 and didn't really have very much going on 10 years ago. So that's almost the first phase of the Old Oakham Park Royal development area that's coming forward, and we think that's really important in terms of helping Park Royal to transform, to create more jobs, and also to bring more residential uses in. We've been quite innovative in that area in looking at different types of housing. We've got the first private rented sector development complete through hub development, and that's now being occupied, and we're really pleased to have got that off the ground. A lot of people have talked about private rented, a lot of different models, but this one is off the ground and proving very successful. There's also the collective, who've been promoting a scheme that was converting an old office block up on the edge of Park Royal, and that's become very successful in terms of creating micro units for particularly young professional people at affordable rents. So that's been something that's helping to transform the area as well. I won't say too much about Green for Green because James is going to talk about that, but that's a really good example of the transformation of a ex-employment site where Glaxo were, and into a significant number of new homes and jobs, and we're really pleased that that development got planning consent earlier on this year. So we're definitely up for making a lot more happen in the borough, and we need people like yourselves to help us do that. What I wanted to say was, as we said, with Crossrail coming, the public transport accessibility levels in Ealing are really increasing. We've already got some good accessibility in the eastern part of the borough. Crossrail will help that more. This slide shows the public transport accessibility levels for a 10-minute walk. And one of the things that we're doing an awful lot of work on, as Catherine said, is we're a borough that wants to promote a lot more around cycling, and looking at how if we improve the public realm to embrace cycling and enable people who feel they can't cycle at the moment to cycle, what does that do to accessibility in the borough? So we've created this map, which shows you, if you convert 10 minutes walk to 10 minutes cycle, what that does to PTAL rates. And those dark areas, the red and the brown, are a PTAL rate of 5 and 6, which, as you know, gives you the opportunity to put much higher density developments in according to the London plan. So we think there's a real opportunity here to look at intensification in Ealing, and we're very much up for making that happen. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Lucy. And now, James is going to come up. give us a presentation on the Greenford scheme.
Thank you very much. Well, thanks for that introduction, Lucy. Ealing is a happy place. I've learnt that in facts and figures today, but we kind of knew it already because we've had a very good experience with Lucy and the whole team at Ealing in bringing these development proposals forward over the last 18 months or so. And because we are very conscious that this our model, our multifamily build-to-rent model, is a new thing for London and the UK. And it's been great to see that Ealing have been willing to embrace that. They had other experiences in this area as well. And, of course, we're part of a bigger sector that's emerging. But it is definitely part of the future in terms of adding to London's housing mix and housing choice. If you're not familiar with Greystar, we've built up experience primarily in the United States over the last 30 years, and it's some of that experience that we're drawing on to both design, develop, and ultimately to manage into the long term this new community. And that's a very important distinction from some property development, because we are going to be there for the long term. So this is a development that is coming to join the community, not acting as something that's going to impose upon it. The history of the site, it was the original Glaxo site, the majority of the site that we're talking about. That's a historic photo from probably before the Second World War. But this is the original Glaxo headquarters office building. And that's grade two listed. We are retaining that. And actually, although the site has been redundant with virtually no employment on it for many years, we are refurbishing that as an office building. We're not converting it to apartments. But we want, as much as anyone else, to bring back a significant amount of employment onto this site, because we want it to be a living place that works for a lot of people for a lot of reasons. But Glaxo has chose this site for the reasons they did. It was near the canal, the Grand Union Canal, which you can see on that photo fairly clearly. And obviously at that time, the road and rail network were emerging. Obviously, it's a lot different now. That's the site as it looks pretty much at the moment, apart from the fact that this other piece of land across the canal has now been was demolished by the previous owner. But we've got that piece of land as well, which enables us to create a much more integrated and joined up place, as I hope I'll be able to explain in a few minutes. So here's the Glaxo house. We're retaining that, but everything else on that part of the site, it's just over 20 acres, is being demolished and rebuilt as this residential-led mixed-use scheme. In terms of location, if you're not sure about that, we're the red dot here in the north of Ealing, so pretty close to Heathrow particularly, and a good location in terms of public transport, Greenford Station in particular, but also Sudbury Hill. Just a quick word about terminology, because I know there's a lot of people talking about PRS, and of course we are part of the PRS, but we tend not to use that term ourselves. The PRS includes a lot of, includes all rental properties, really, including buy-to-let, which is generally fairly fragmented, disparate, with a great range of both quality and customer service in terms of landlord interaction. So we tend not to use that term because it includes the stuff that's got very little of either. Build to rent is obviously a good term. It's becoming into planning terminology, and that does imply at least a minimum level of accommodation quality, but also a minimum level of customer service and facilities on the site. In terms of Greystar, our multifamily model, we tend to start in that top right-hand corner and work our way back in. So in terms of the design, it's all really, we think about from the outset the resident experience and how we can manage that community in order to drive a really good experience for our residents. So key features of the Greenford site, say just about 20 acres just over of developable site. The four buildings there that we've got outlined with a hatch, those are primary multifamily buildings. But we've got three other residential buildings. We've got two buildings for sale, because even Greystar thought that having that many eggs in one basket straight away is probably a little bit much. And actually, a site of this size does need a bit of variety of tenure. So these are conventional for sale with some shared ownership as the affordable housing element. And then another building up here, which we're doing as 100% discount market rent. We're hoping to do a deal with Broadway Living, Ealing's housing company, to provide that as a discount market rent building, and it's one which we may end up managing for them on their behalf. So overall, we've got just under 2,000 homes, a lot of non-residential use as well, which I'll come to, but around that canal side, and because we are long-term investors and operators of this new community, we are very keen that the place and the landscaping and particularly around that central square and the canal side is extremely high quality and attractive and will remain so for decades to come. We've also got a connection to Horsenden Hill, which is a huge area of parkland across the other side of Greenford Road. It's not brilliantly accessible at the moment from that point at least, and we want to improve that and help people to access that. But one of the reasons is that we're, as a rental operator, we are pet friendly. So we want people, and I'm sure people would want to have pets and dogs, and somewhere easy to go and walk them would be great, as well as the canal. In terms of the timetable, we've had our planning decision, as Lucy mentioned, back in March, and we are now working through the final rubber stamping of that before we start in demolition and enabling works. You'll remember from the previous photograph, there's a lot of that to be done later this year, in the autumn, with a view to hopefully coming back out of the ground vertically early in the new year. And the other important thing about our programme is that because it's rental and we are going to be leasing up far quicker than we would be selling units, we want to get this thing built as quick as possible. That allows more people to come in more quickly. It allows the place to establish itself more quickly, and the supporting commercial space, whether that's retail or workspace or restaurants and cafes, can establish far more quickly and be an attractive place for everybody. So we're looking at an overall sort of 6 to 7 year construction program, we hope. So the principles of our approach, this multifamily approach, it is very much these purpose design buildings. We have made changes to the London Housing Design Guide. That is not in terms of the space standards of the apartments or something, which are compliant, and we want them to be. But they're more about the design of the building as a whole. So the arrangements of those units, the arrangement of the communal areas, the circulation spaces, but added onto that resident amenity spaces, shared amenity spaces, as well as our own management space and back of house facilities. To make it as flexible as possible, we don't do single bedrooms. All flats are able to be occupied either by people sharing or family groups. I think that's very important to manage flexibility for people into the future. And we have a very efficient design to allow our maintenance and management to operate efficiently through the building. So we have fairly long corridors and things, but because it's a managed building, that's fine. And we've talked at length to Ealing and the GLA about that, and everyone's comfortable with that. I'm conscious of time, so I'll keep going without reading all of these points, but there are a lot of benefits to the local area and to Ealing in particular. As I say, we are hoping in this area it's going to be a catalyst for a wider regeneration. We've got a lot of long-term jobs, even beyond the sort of 3,000 to 4,000 construction phase jobs which we may generate. We're going to end up with a long-term 1,200 or so jobs on the site. We've got a new primary school, we've got a new health centre, a lot of community infrastructure, as well as the retail and commercial space. But of course, all of that brings in additional income, both to the local authority, to Ealing in terms of council tax, new homes bonus, SIL, etc., but also ups the spending in the local economy, which is good for existing local businesses. And some of those local businesses, we want to come in and take space in our scheme as well, and give it a real local character rather than just a replicant sort of high street feel to it. And I think the speed of construction will really help with that process. So the final slide really is just to look at, and I won't talk in a huge amount of detail, but just to show the design of this building is different from how you would design it for sale. And the drivers behind that are these communal resident amenities, particularly on the roof. We don't have a penthouse flat. We have a residence lounge and a roof terrace that everybody can use, courtyard gardens, and I say that sort of We've developed a sort of an E-shape which allows access from pretty much any point in the building to any other point in the building relatively easy without having to go all the way down in one core and back up in another core. If you want to know any more detail of that, we've got the model of this scheme out at the stand very near the entrance to the exhibition, so we'd be very happy for myself or one of the team to talk to you about that in more detail if you've got any more detailed questions. But I think I'll leave it there for now. Thank you very much.
Great, thank you. So, Tom, to come to you, I mean, Ealing, like many local authorities, is undergoing some fairly major estate regeneration projects. So I wonder if you can give us an update on some of the work that you're looking at and also talk us through how you're working with the local community to create these as new places.
Okay. I mean, we're currently, we have around about 1,500, well, actually more than that, 2,000 homes in one stage of construction. Development or other, and we have about 1,200 homes which we're actually building at the moment. And one of the key one of the projects of that is in Southall, which is the regeneration of the Havelock estate. And it's really interesting because in a sense it's going to be the first Southall kind of new build to have happened. It's kind of the advance guard of what is a changing place quite significantly. And we're selling there at the moment. And it's interesting, you know, it's because it's a place which has really strong connections with Heathrow as well as with central London. So we've got, off that estate and other estates, we've got about 130 people, helped 130 people into jobs. And a lot of those jobs are actually through the Heathrow Academy and the draw of Heathrow. And elsewhere where we're doing about, we're doing 270 homes in St. Bernard's Gate, which is in Hanwell. We're working really closely with the council around supporting people who, in essence, work from home. So we're talking about, kind of general amenity for people to go to. We're talking about employment startup. We're talking about social enterprise startup, and reusing an old building, which is a church, which is at the centre of that particular place. But in terms of development, what I really like about working in Ealing, besides, I mean, and I'd say this genuinely, the council is an easy council to work with, is that actually you can, you know, you've got a high amount of amenity. In fact, I said to Julian, I've never been to Copenhagen and now I don't need to go. So it's kind of, you know, because it has got a high level of amenity and it is a pleasant place, but you can also be building homes for people which are kind of within affordable ranges in terms of the square foot cost. And so you get quite significant demand because of that amenity. And with what you're able to do in terms of you know, the demography that you can sell to.
Thank you. And I was struck in your presentation, Justin, you mentioned that the age profile in Ealing hasn't really changed very much to date. With the arrival of, you know, new rental products, I wonder how far that's actually changing, bringing more young people into the borough. And perhaps, James, you could comment on the influence that that's having and actually what people are looking for in the kind of local amenities.
I think it's going to be very interesting to see who comes into Greenford. We're doing a huge amount of market research into that. I think it's too simplistic in a way to think that it's all going to be sort of 20-somethings because I think experience from others already shows that that's going to be a broader selection of people. And I think in a sort of non-central location such as Greenford, I think there's a lot of potential for both families and older people to really come into this. And I say we've got multiple buildings, so we're debating internally at the moment whether we actively target this or whether we let it sort of evolve gradually. But it may be that over time those buildings sort of evolve a preference of their own. So one may be more attractive to young families, one may be more attractive to an older crowd. It'll be fascinating to see how that works out. But we are aware that it's not, we don't have a sole focus on a particular demographic group.
Mm-hmm. Lucy, are you seeing a sort of shift there at all? And how is the borough sort of reacting to it?
Yes, I mean, definitely with some of the town centre developments that I talked about in terms of the there's more flats coming into each of our town centres. Traditionally, our town centres have been very much, you know, retail centres with not a lot of residential in them close to the stations, and then very expensive large family housing around the outsides of the town centres. What we're seeing with this intensification is flats coming in with a lot more young people, and the challenge for us then is how we harness the benefits of that. I mean, one of the things about Ealing, I would say at the moment, is the need to increase the kind of cultural and leisure offer for young professionals and younger people to actually spend some of their money. A lot of people like the attraction of living in Ealing with the slightly more affordable rents and purchase prices, but then they're on a train over to Shoreditch or into the central London for their leisure and spending their money. And again, that's something we need to look at, is how we get that leisure evening economy to support that. The other thing I would say about the age profile that we really mustn't forget, and is an perhaps even greater challenge for us, is housing for older people. And something that we're really turning our attention to is housing for older people right across the spectrum. We've done some good initial work with Catalyst, developing some housing for the over 55s to free up some of our family units that are in council and residential provider stock. But we want to look at, as I say, products for all different types of older people, whether they own their own homes or they're renting at the moment or they need an affordable product. But it's a real challenge for the urban areas. How do we create products that people want to move into and free up other products? So anyone that's got good examples of that, I'd really like to talk to you.
And then, Justin, you talked about, obviously, the critical accessibility around Ealing. Heathrow is obviously under review for expansion. I wonder if you can talk about the importance of Heathrow to the borough and, you know, how you see the kind of future of the borough linking up with its expansion.
Yep. Well, traditionally, Ealing has done very well in attracting housing, and now flats as well as traditional family housing. The proximity now to and accessibility to Heathrow means that there's an opportunity for Ealing to now become, rather than a satellite town, or community that feeds work into central London, there's now an opportunity to bring the office accommodation and all the conveniences, as you were saying earlier on, regarding a cafe culture to Ealing now, and creating a, rather than a satellite town or its own entity, and therefore I think it would progressively become much more of a destination for SME office floor space, as well as, you know, the housing that's already been historically delivered in the borough. So I think there's a big sea change as a result of Crossrail accessibility Heathrow-wise, mm-hmm. and straight into the city. So you can, I can see the satellite offices coming out to you.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Now, do we have any questions at all from the audience? Yes, we've got one just over here. There's a microphone just on its way. If you can just say who you are and what company you're from.
Thank you. I'm Emma Harling Phillips from Pinsent Masons. We heard a lot this morning about the ability to integrate infrastructure with new development. And someone that acts for TfL, you know, we talked to them a lot about overstation development and really, using the ability to develop sites to help bring infrastructure forward. And I was just wondering to what extent Ealing is looking at that with their sort of public sector infrastructure partners, and the extent to which you think you're doing it successfully, given the amazing sort of station developments that you've got in the borough.
We've looked at some of our stations for intensification, and as I've said, I think each of the town centres have got the opportunity around the Crossrail stations. There's a lot of land around some of the Crossrail station developments, so we've been looking at that. I mean, Southall is a really good example of that, where we tried very hard a few years ago, and I don't know if there's anyone in the room who's from Network Rail, but I will say it has been very difficult to work with Network Rail. In particular around Southall, we tried to look at the potential with the opportunity that those of you that know Southall, the current very small station there's going to be a new station box, but it is literally going to be a station box that houses a ticket hall, and that is it. But right next to that site is a large site which is ripe for development, and we had discussions about, well, surely we should be integrating a station with a whole new development. The council didn't own any land in that area, but Network Rail does. How do we bring that forward? And that has not been successful, so what is going to move forward is literally just a station box at this time. We still have aspirations and master plans that have been done to enable a more integrated development to come forward, and we very much hope that that can happen. I mean, another area of real opportunity for overstation development is North Acton. We are developing a new piece of public open space to open up the North Acton station, which is very hidden, and businesses there told us that their employees were scared almost of going into the underground station. So our strategy was to open up that station and create a safe and pleasant way to access the station and to encourage people to meet and congregate there more and to service some of the developments. But there is a real opportunity, given its location, to do overstation development. But again, we don't own the land in that area, and it is a challenge working with the other public sector transport providers. But I know certainly TfL are looking much more intensively at their own land and how to bring that forward. So again, we're very welcoming of it.
Do we have any more questions? No, one final question for me, because we're actually coming fairly close to time. Again, just to reference Julian Bell at the event a couple of weeks ago, he talked about the sort of double-edged sword of Crossrail, you know, bringing obviously price increases across the site, but also looking at how do you maintain affordability. And so I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on how do we ensure that everyone in the borough, coming to the borough, is able to sort of share in the prosperity that Crossrail, or the Elizabeth Lines, we should say, is bringing to this area. Perhaps, Lucy, you could.
Well, I guess there's two bits to that. I mean, one is about our approach to affordable housing, and I think we've taken a fairly strong but also pragmatic approach to affordable housing, and I hope Tom and James would agree with that. We very much welcome the Mayor's SPG and the kind of new benchmark that's being set at 35%. Our policy is actually 50% affordable housing. But we are prepared to look at a whole range of products, and the kind of product that James is promoting in the Grey Star development is one of those. Our key thing is about how are the products affordable to everyone who's living in the borough, and in particular to genuine households where people perhaps are in work but are in key worker jobs. So a primary school teacher and a nurse, how do they afford to live in Ealing? And that's part of our benchmark, is how we can create products for those kinds of people. And I think the other thing is also about how when the growth in the economy comes and jobs, what are we doing to enable some of our local residents to share in that? We've got a very successful apprenticeship programme that we want to see scaled up. The council's been taking on apprentices and encouraging local employers to do that. So every year now we have at least 200 apprentice places in the borough with our local employers who are taking on Ealing young people, giving them 2 years of work, which is a massive boost to enabling people to carry on in the workplace. So we're looking at how do we scale that up so even more young people can benefit from those job opportunities.
Tom, do you have anything to add?
Well, as a developer, I mean, you know, we're a housing association, and we will maximise the amount of affordable housing, and we look across. I mean, you know, not unlike others, not unlike James, at a range of price points. So one of the things we're doing at the moment, we have a 260-unit estate in Acton, which is substandard, and we're looking to redevelop that into a range of homes, massively increasing the density. But as part of that, we're going to double the amount of, if you like, normal homes, but we're also going to provide 300 microflats. And the key thing with that is the rent, we're working back from the research that we've done about who it is that lives and works in the borough, what it is that they can afford to pay, and we're working back our viability on that basis. And, you know, people have different views about microflats, but our market research shows that there is a real demand for that sort of thing, and that's not the traditional affordable product. The other thing is that, you know, in terms of outright sale, I said it before, it's still a good place, you know, which is around about £600 a square foot, you know, which is the new affordable, you know, purchase with the subsidies that go with it. But that is true. So you are getting people with local connection buying your outright sale properties as opposed to the, you know, the buy-to-let investor. So it is still, there's a level of affordability. And the last thing on that, though, is the key thing to keep going on about it is service charges. And so you have to design and manage your properties to keep your service charge down, because that can be the killer in terms of affordability. And that's a real issue, I think, for all housing providers.
One last comment. Yeah.
And one word from our perspective on that. Obviously, the affordable housing on Greenford is, we've got some shared ownership in the sale box, but obviously the principal form of affordable housing is the discount market rent, which is being introduced through through the Mayor's SPG. And you know, I think what we're trying to do, probably as a build-to-rent sector altogether, is actually fill in some of the gaps between this polarised model that we've had, you know, for many decades now, which was sort of, you know, the for sale housing getting increasingly out of reach on one end of the scale, and the affordable housing that's designated through a 106, not enough people are eligible for that. So there's been this increasing gap, which has got to a real gulf now, actually. And I think anything that we can do to help fill that. So I don't think we take the view that we should be, or anyone can provide for all types of housing on every single site. But I think what we're trying to do is add more variety around the place to add into that spectrum so that we get a greater range of either affordability or something we like to call attainability, sort of beyond that designated affordable housing. But, you know, so the discount market rent, I think, is really good for that. And I've worked in affordable housing in London for over 20 years. And I think, you know, I think it's a great type of tenure, because it's not fixed at just one point in time and then you do the deal and you say goodbye to it. It is something we're going to retain, we're going to manage, and as people's individual circumstances change over the time, and they may get better, they may get worse, the households may grow, they may shrink, but we can adapt to that and either change their lease agreement or put them into a different size unit depending on their needs. But the idea that they would like to stay in that community, and we'll enable them to do that.
Thank you. Well, we've only really just been able to kind of scratch the surface of what's happening across this borough, but clearly some very positive moves happening. I'll certainly take away the happiest borough as well, which is a great thing to see. So thank you to all of you for listening, and can we thank all of our speakers as well.